भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं कवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। धर्मः प्रोजहिता। कैतवो अत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणा सतां वेद्यं वास्तवम् अत्र वस्तु शिवदं ताप त्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनि कृते किं वा परैर ईश्वरः सद्यो रुद्य अवरुध्यते अत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तत्क्षणा। धर्मप्रोजितकैतवत्र परमो निर्मत्सराणां सताम्। भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। कंप्लीटली रिजेक्टिंग ऑल रिलीजियस एक्टिविटीज विच आर मटीरियली मोटिवेटेड, दिस भागवत पुराण प्रोपाउंड्स द हाइएस्ट ट्रूथ विच इज अंडरस्टैंडेबल बाय दोज डिवोटीज हु आर फुल्ली प्योर इन हार्ट। द हाइएस्ट ट्रूथ इज रियलिटी distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. Purport. Religion includes four primary subjects, namely pious activities, economic development, satisfaction of the senses, and finally liberation from material bondage. A religious life is a barbarous condition. Indeed, human life begins when religion begins. Eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating are the four principles of animal life. These are common both to animals and to human beings. But religion is the extra function of the human being. Without religion, human life is no better than animal life. Therefore, in human societies, there is some form of religion which aims at self-realization and which makes reference to man's eternal relationship with God. In the lower stage of human realization, of human civilization, there is always competition to lord it over the material nature, or in other words, there is a continuous rivalry to satisfy the senses. Driven by such consciousness, man turns to religion. He thus performs pious activities or religious functions in order to gain something material. But if such material gains are obtainable in other ways, then so-called religion is neglected. This is the situation in modern civilization. Man is thriving economically, so at present, he is not very interested in religion. Churches, mosques, or temples are now practically vacant. Men are more interested in factories, shops, and cinemas than in religious places which were erected by their forefathers. This practically proves that religion is performed for economic gains. Economic gains are needed for sense gratification. Often, when one is baffled by the pursuit of sense gratification, he takes to salvation and tries to become one with the Supreme Lord. Consequently, all these states are simply different types of sense gratification. In the Vedas, the above mentioned four activities are prescribed in the regulative way so that there will not be any undue competition for sense gratification. But Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental to all these sense gratificatory activities. It is purely transcendental literature which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. In the material world, there is keen competition between animal and animal, man and man, community and community, nation and nation. But the devotees of the Lord rise above such competitions. They do not compete with the materialist because they are on the path back to Godhead, where life is eternal and blissful. Such transcendentalists are non-envious and pure in heart. In the material world, everyone is envious of everyone else, and therefore there is competition. But the transcendental devotees of the Lord are not only free from material envy, but are well-wishers to everyone, and they strive to establish a competitionless society with God in the center. The contemporary socialist conception of a competitionless society is artificial, because in the socialist state, there is competition for the post of dictator. From the point of view of the Vedas, or from the point of view of common human activities, sense gratification is the basis of material life. There are three paths mentioned in the Vedas. One involves fruity activities to gain promotion to better planets. Another involves worshipping different demigods for promotion to the planets of the demigods. And another involves realizing the absolute truth and his impersonal feature and becoming one with him. We'll leave the purport for the speakers tomorrow and thereafter. Remaining purport. Hare Krishna. So this is the mission statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. Every organization or every forum, they have an intention which they broadcast so that everyone who approaches them knows what to expect from them. So this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam gives its mission statement. What is the Srimad Bhagavatam going to give us? So it is described that Srimad Bhagavatam is going to give us pure religious principles, rejecting all materially motivated religion. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains how religion is the difference between human life and animal life, and most religion is performed for sense gratification. So we'll discuss this one by one. Here Srila Prabhupada makes a very powerful statement. He says, irreligious life is a barbarous condition. So the word barbarous comes from the word barbarian. Barbarian is like a forest tribal who eats, who catches animals and eats them raw, or who eats raw foods, who does not have a house but lives in caves. So that is the general idea of what is barbarous. But हरे कृष्ण जो भक्त हिंदी में सुनना चाहते हैं कॉन्ग्रेगेशन ऑफिस में भाषांतर हो रहा है. सो दैट इज द जनरल आइडिया ऑफ बारबेरियन. बट श्रील प्रभुपाद एक्सप्लेन्स व्हाट इज बारबरस. ही सेड रिलीजियस लाइफ इज बारबरस लाइफ. एंड ही फर्दर सेज ह्यूमन लाइफ बिगिन्स व्हेन रिलीजन बिगिन्स. एस्पेशली इन द मॉडर्न टाइम्स इट इज डिफिकल्ट फॉर पीपल टू अप्रिशिएट दिस पॉइंट. एंड इवन एज डिवोटीज we need to deepen our conviction about this. People feel, why are you so fanatical saying that only religion is the difference between humans and animals? There are so many differences. Do animals build houses? Do animals have civilizations? Do animals write literature? Do animals have languages? Do animals advance in science and technology? Do animals have factories and industries? So there are hundreds of differences. Why do you catch this one difference only? So, superficially it appears that there is so much difference. And religion is one small factor. But that is a material conception of religion. What is the religion that is referred to by the word dharma? In fact, Srila Prabhupada in his purports at different places explains that the word dharma is not appropriately translated as religion. Because religion generally refers to a belief system. So I may believe in Hinduism today, tomorrow I may become a Christian, and some Christian may become a Muslim. So it basically refers to a belief system that is changeable and that is not necessarily grounded in facts. But in the second chapter of this first canto, Savai Pumsam Paro Dharma, there in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, we have intentionally translated dharma as occupational duty. Dharma as the essential function which is inseparable from the person. So, with respect to that, what does that dharma have to do? Dharmo hi tesham adhiko visheshu. So that dharma refers to the search for a higher truth in life. There may be certain religious rituals which help in searching for that higher truth. A truth, a source of happiness and fulfillment beyond what comes from eating, sleeping, mating and defending. That is what is referred to as dharma. When we say dharme nahina pashubhi samana, if this search for higher truth is not there, then the human being is no different from an animal. So now, if we see all the differences which the materialists claim as proving the superiority of the human race over the animal world, say, literature, music, language, science and technology, what are all these used for? Literature, what is it generally about? It is about eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Technology, what is it about? The whole movie industry means that people have become so lazy that to eat, sleep, mate and defend requires some hard work. You think, I will not work hard, I will watch somebody else do eating, sleeping, mating and defending and think I am there and enjoy. That is the movie industry. And if we actually see even the scientific research, most of it is funded by either the defense industry or the consumer industry. So defense industry means defending. And consumer industry means eating, sleeping and mating. So similarly, if we see art, music, what is most music about? About sex and violence, mating and defending. So we should not see the activity as a differentiation between the human and animal. We should see the purpose of the activity. So seemingly, we may be advancing in science and technology or literature or language or music or culture. But as Srila Prabhupada would challenge, the car is moving on four wheels, the dog is moving on four legs and humans are moving on four wheels. If the purpose is the same, then what is the difference? So, because humans have a higher intelligence, they can do all these activities which the animals cannot do. As a language, literature, civilization, culture, science and technology, music, art, they can certainly do all these. But if they do not have the search for the higher truth, then they use these higher faculties for the lower purpose only, as is being seen in the modern world. So, the dharma, that is the differentiation between humans and animals, is the search for the higher truth. That's why Brahma Jigyasa, inquiry for a higher truth, inquiry for the spirit, Prabhupada says spiritual inquiry. So nowadays there is not Brahma Jigyasa, there is Bhayankar Jigyasa. There is Bhayankar Jigyasa. How? What is the Jigyasa? That Jigyasa is only Anna Jigyasa, Maithun Jigyasa, Ahar Jigyasa, Maithun Jigyasa, Nidra Jigyasa and Bhaya Jigyasa. That's all that is Jigyasa. The Jigyasa has to be there. The whole world is full of question answers. What are people finding out? They're finding out how to make a cow with smaller legs and more flesh so that we can eat more. Anna Jigyasa. That is science. That is pioneering scientific research subject. How to make a chicken which has lesser wings, smaller beak, shorter legs, and more of a torso so that we can eat more. Or how to prolong the sexual drive even after the body has gone down. How to invent hormones or tablets which can increase the sexual drive even in youth or even when the body grows old. Or how to try to enjoy without having to suffer the consequence of the enjoyment. All this is maithun jignasa. So, there is no difference. It is just animal activity. A person may be researching in a scientific laboratory or writing a novel or drawing a painting, but if he doesn't have the higher knowledge of something eternal in life, then he is no better than an animal. So, when the Westerners came to India, they thought the Indians, especially the renunciates who live in the forest, wearing only one piece of cloth and eat some fruits and roots, they are barbarians. But actually, Srila Prabhupada is paying them back in their own coin. He's saying that actually, if we analyze from an objective point of view, who is a barbarian? A barbarian who is one who doesn't have any higher purpose to life, who just lives like an animal. So we may be living in concrete jungles, but there's no difference between human life and animal life. In fact, if we see, the animals, they search around for food during the day and at night they go to sleep. But the humans, they search around for food, sex and everything else in the day. At night, they can't sleep. They need sleeping pills. Human being is the only animal who needs a sleeping pill to sleep. Human being is the only animal who suffers from stress, depression, who commits suicide. So, if you see, sometimes dogs fight for a bitch. You know, one dog, he says, this bitch is mine. The other dog says, this bitch is mine. And the two of them fight. And the stronger dog beats away the weaker dog. And what happens? The weaker dog just goes and finds another bitch. But when humans, they fight, if there is a fight, one boy beats up another boy, the second boy goes and commits suicide. Why? Because human beings are meant to love God. They're meant to give their heart to God. When they give their heart to something or someone else, they suffer worse than the animals. In human life, we have the evolved consciousness by which we can enjoy better than the animals. By advancing spiritually, by becoming Krishna conscious. But the developed consciousness also means potential for greater suffering. Essentially, consciousness means emotions. This mic, it doesn't have any consciousness. Means when I beat it, I feel the pain. It doesn't feel the pain. So it doesn't have any emotions. So developed consciousness means developed capacity to experience emotions. So when we develop our dormant devotion to the Lord, we can experience emotions and happiness far, far superior to what the animals can experience. But if we misdirect our consciousness towards the animal propensities and try to enjoy like the animals, then because of our developed consciousness, we suffer more than the animals. The animals also work for Ahar Nidra Bhay Maithun. But as we discussed, they never suffer from stress, depression, suicidal tendencies. They don't suffer from heartbreaks. Why? Because their consciousness is lower developed. When the consciousness is higher developed, it is that higher developed consciousness is meant for a higher purpose. If we use it for a lower purpose, we will suffer more than the animals. And that is what we see in modern society. So, in the Vedic literature, it is understood that human beings are interested in sense gratification. So the Vedic literature serves two objectives simultaneously. It serves man's objective as well as God's objective. Man's objective is sense gratification. And God's objective is spiritual elevation. God, Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, knows that we cannot be happy in material life. Because, as it is explained over here, tap trayon mulanam. No matter what a person does to achieve sense gratification, the tapatraya, the threefold miseries, are going to remain. So this is something, this essential knowledge is missing in modern education. The modern society sets up so many goals for us. become a topper in class, become a wealthy man, go to America, do this, do that. But any goal that the modern society sets for us, is that goal going to stop the threefold miseries? Now, we are poor, a person is poor, so he thinks I am suffering. A famous movie star, he's from a rags to riches story. He was living in the slums and he used to see the movie hoardings and he used to think, if only I could become a Hollywood star. And somehow he got a lucky break and he entered the movie industry and he became an international hero. And then he wrote his autobiography. And in the autobiography he wrote, when I was poor, I thought I was miserable. When I became wealthy, I knew I was miserable. And he explains why. He said, because when I was poor, certainly I used to sometimes be hungry, I used to be shelterless. But at least I had friends. I had family members with whom I could share my joys and sorrows. Now that I have become wealthy, so many people approach me. But all of them have their hidden agendas. So whenever a person approaches me, shows some affection to me, immediately I have to worry, what does this person want from me? Although I have so much wealth, I cannot trust anyone. As it is said, the topmost position is the loneliest position. So, what happens is, the suffering in material life is due to the threefold miseries. Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik and Adhidaivik. Suffering is caused by the body and mind. Suffering is caused by other living entities. And suffering is caused by material nature. And whatever goals society sets for us, are they going to stop these sufferings? The goals that are erected by society for us to follow are just imaginations. They don't achieve anything substantial except gratify our ego temporarily. A poor person, he suffers because of heat and cold. He suffers because of his body and mind. Does a wealthy person not suffer because of his body and mind? He also suffers. Wealth can provide medicines, but not health. So he may be able to use his money to purchase medicines, but still he's going to get sick. Still he's going to suffer disease and he's going to die. Similarly, a poor person, maybe nobody respects him, nobody cares for him. A wealthy person, do people care for him? They don't care for him, they care for his wealth. So, actually, if you see the relationship problems are more among the wealthy than among the poor. Why? Because every wealthy person has his own huge ego. And then, you know, in this world, whenever two things collide, you know, if I throw an object and you throw an object, both will smash and fall apart. But when two egos collide, both become bigger. So, when a person becomes wealthy or successful in any way, materially, his ego becomes bigger. And when it collides with someone else's ego, the conflicts are bigger. If you see two villagers or two people living in slums, if their egos collide, they'll just fight, beat each other up. But say, Saddam Hussein and George Bush, their egos collide. The whole world is in fear. Isn't it? So, actually, Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik and Adhidaivik. When the natural calamities come, they don't discriminate. When the floods came in Bombay, the political leader, it is said by him, he raises his finger, just by him, all the whole city of Mumbai can stop. But he had to raise his clothes and run away when the floods came. So natural calamities don't discriminate. You know, when the tsunami hit the Indian Ocean rim countries, there was no differentiation whether there was an orphan on the streets who was knocked down or there was a millionaire who has come for a year-end resort. Everybody was destroyed. So these three kleshas, Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik and Adhidaivik, cause suffering to everyone. And real human progress, real human happiness means counteracting these. But making arrangements for sense gratification, either through religious means or through non-religious means, doesn't remove these threefold miseries. And that is why it is doomed to frustration. So, of course, when people progress in double quotes, they have greater expectations. And when there are greater expectations, naturally there is greater suffering. Well, that's why people are suffering more than the animals. Nowadays, people work in call centers. And even the animals sleep at night. Isn't it? But we, progressive humans, we think that, you know, we are progressing more than animals and we cannot even sleep like animals. What to speak of doing anything else? So where is the progress? So the Vedic path, as I said, it provides for two purposes. One is man's objective. Man's objective is he wants sense gratification. And God's objective is he wants spiritual realization. God wants to give the soul spiritual realization, spiritual elevation. So the normal Vedic path is this Chaturdharma. It's Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. So the Vedic literature gives instructions of what a person should do and what he should not do. Yama and Niyama. Why is this given? For several purposes. One of them is to maintain social order. Another is to help the person to become disciplined so that his consciousness can rise. Another is that when he lives in harmony with God, his needs are provided for. So, in the material world, the main competition is for sense gratification. And when a person is fighting for sense gratification, especially in the human body, after some time he starts understanding that my success in sense gratification does not depend only on my efforts. Sometimes people very foolishly think that, no, ye bhagwan ka naam lene se kya hone wala hai? Kya bhagwan bhojan dene wala hai kya? Main mehnat karta hu isliye bhojan milta hai. But this is like an animal mentality. No, a bird, it moves out from its nest. And it thinks that because I search for my grains, so I get the grains. Yeah, it has to search, but it doesn't produce the grains. The grains are already scattered here and there by the will of the Supreme Lord, who is the maintainer of all living beings. And the bird just goes and searches and finds. So it has to make some efforts. But if by the will of providence there are no grains, no matter how much the bird searches, it will not get anything. So the bird's efforts are only secondary. The primary provision is made by God. Similarly, human beings think, I am working so hard, I am going for a 9-to-5 job. Nowadays, 9-to-9 job. I am going for such a job and I am working so hard and that's why I am earning my livelihood. Okay, you can work as hard as you want, we can tell the materialist. But if God doesn't provide rains, God doesn't provide grains, what will you eat? So to think I am maintaining myself is animal consciousness. Because the animals also think like that. But actually human life means to recognize that God is providing everything. My efforts are only secondary. So anyway, in this world there is competition for sense gratification. And when the struggle becomes intense, the human being starts realizing that success in sense gratification doesn't depend only on my own efforts. There is some higher power, something higher which determines the movements in this world. And therefore he turns to God. O Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us our daily bread. So a person turns to dharma for artha. Because he understands that if I want sense gratification, then I cannot get it by my own efforts. I need to pray to God. This is good. Certainly this is better than atheistic materialistic life. Where one thinks that by my own efforts I will achieve success. Even in sense gratification. So in the Vedic literature, dharma generally would refer to the Agnihotra Yajna, which would be performed by the Brahmanas, or the other Yajnas which would be performed by which the rains would come. Now the modern scientists say this is blind faith. That, what is this? How can this Yajna produce rains? But scientific research has shown that if actually we put in all the ingredients which are required for Yajna, and then burn it exactly in the way in which the Vedic literature prescribe, then that combination and combustion produces a chemical which is necessary for clouds to precipitate rains. And essentially what they do in artificial rains is something similar. They also try to put those precipitant chemicals, but they do it by going in a helicopter and then they inject it into a cloud and think we are producing rains. But of course, even if they produce rain like that, first the clouds have to be there. The clouds are not there, they cannot create clouds. So they call that this is blind faith, but it is a deep science. So this material mechanism produces a material result. Of course, all this is under the control of the demigod and the supreme lord ultimately. Upadrishta Anumantacha. So now, when man performs dharma, this, Srila Prabhupada explains, is like a citizen giving tax. The religion, that religious activity that the human beings are performing, they are the tax which we are supposed to give to the cosmic government. Just like a person lives in a city, then he has to give water tax. He has to give different types of taxes. And if he doesn't give those taxes, supply is cut. So like that, the yajna that is to be performed is like the tax that is supposed to be given. And when the tax is given, then the universal government provides all the necessities. So another example that is given by Srila Prabhupada is that material nature is like the mother. The Supreme Lord is like the father. So when the child obeys the parents provide everything to the child. Sometimes people say, why does God allow such floods to occur? Why does God allow so much drought to occur and so many people to die because of that? So, God, if God is like a loving father, why does he allow so much suffering among his children? Rather than that question, we should ask, if we remember that God is our father and we are his children only when the rains don't come. We don't remember that we are all his children when we cut cows and eat their flesh and blood. So imagine one brother who goes and murders his other brother. Will the father not be angry? Why should the father provide the necessities for such a son? The father will punish such a son for the good of that son. So we humans, we remember God only when God doesn't provide necessities. Once, there was a wealthy landlord and he had a big palace and he was very charitable also. So what would happen is he would go on top of his tower and from there all the poor beggars who would be there in the streets, he would throw down fruits and grains and all other valuable commodities for them. And then they would take it and they would go away. And one day his friend came with him and he saw it. He says, oh, you are so charitable. He says, but I am not happy. Is why? See, I am giving so much to all these people, but they don't even turn and thank me. So his friend, I have an idea. He said, you throw stones down. So he took big stones and started throwing it down. And then the stone, they started hitting. And then they looked up. And they understood that earlier when they would get all those fruits and grain, there was this person who was supplying from above. So like that, it is only when we start getting some suffering, then we understand that the necessities which we are getting, they are being provided by God. Otherwise, we think that everything is coming automatically. Okay, then suffering is also coming automatically. Why blame God? See, when we get the necessities, we say it's automatic. But when the suffering comes, we remember, why is God doing it? So it's double standards. So actually, when we live religiously, to a citizen, if the government is to provide him the necessities, he has to do two things. First is, he has to not harm other citizens, not break the laws. And second is, he has to provide the tax. Similarly, when we live in the universal government, we should not harm other living beings. We should not break the laws of God. And secondly, we should pay the tax. We should do yajna. In Kali Yuga, it's Sankirtan yajna. And then the universal government, under the supervision of the Lord, will provide all the necessities. Loka adhyaksha sura adhyaksha dharma adhyaksha kruta kruta. Krishna is the adhyaksha, adhi aksha, one whose eyes are above. That means one who is above. He is supervising everything in this world. And he will provide. So this dharma leads to artha, actually speaking. When we perform religious activities, then the material nature, under the guidance of the Lord, provides all our necessities. So this artha, Srila Prabhupada explained, doesn't refer to just paper currency. which has no value if the currency gets devalued. And nowadays we have plastic currency. So it's not all of value. This artha refers to the necessities of life. Nowadays people have so much money, but even people who earn 4-digit salaries, they can't afford fruits. Fruits are provided by nature free. We have made them prohibitively expensive, and we can't purchase fruits. And those who can, they don't purchase fruits. They purchase fruity, and they think we are progressive. It's the same nutrients which are there in the fruit are in a contaminated, diluted, and perverted form present in the fruity. And we take that and we consider that progress. But anyway, the point is that actually artha refers to holistic prosperity, where the body, the mind, and the soul are taken care of. If you see in modern society, neither the body, nor the mind, nor the soul is taken care of. And still we say we are progressing. All that is taken care of is the senses and the ego. The senses are gratified and the ego is inflated. But physically, are people healthier than in the past? Mentally, are people more peaceful than in the past? Spiritually, are people more enlightened than in the past? No. So, that artha is holistic prosperity. And then, that artha, generally people use the resources of nature for sense gratification. That is karma. And because the person is following religion, he's doing dharma, gradually he gets realization and understands that actually this cycle of dharma, artha, karma is not going to satisfy me. And then he turns towards moksha. He turns towards liberation. He thinks that, okay, I cannot enjoy this world, so I will give up this world. And I will attain liberation. In this world there is activity for sense gratification. But then he says, shanti, shanti, shanti. Why? Because there is so much ashanti, because there is indriya tupti. So he says, I'll give up indriya tupti. Why? He doesn't want to give up sense gratification. But he thinks sense gratification causes misery. He doesn't want the misery. So he thinks, I will give up activity for sense gratification. Shanti, shanti. But that is also another form of sense gratification. Because by enjoying, my senses get some enjoyment, but they get also some suffering. So if I don't enjoy, then I won't get the enjoyment, but I won't get the suffering also. So all the center is still I. How can I be happy? So if a person is foolish, he thinks that by gratifying my senses, I'll be happy. And if a person is foolish in a different form, he thinks that by not engaging my senses in sense gratification, I'll be happy. But this is not the purpose, ultimately, of the existence of the living entity. Both are unstable states. Sense gratification is unstable, and renunciation of sense gratification is also unstable. Because both are based on the misidentification that we have an existence separate from Krishna. One is that I have existence as a body separate from Krishna. The other is, I have existence as a spiritual being, but I am existing just as a finite spiritual particle which will merge into the Brahma Jyoti. So, both are illusions. But gradually by this, when a person becomes detached, if while following dharma, artha, kama and moksha, if he comes in contact with a devotee, then he can understand the pancham purusharta. All these are four purusharthas, chatur purusharthas. But the pancham purusharta is prema pumartho mahan. Now in the modern times, people are not following this Vedic dharma. They are also following dharma. Dharma in the sense of religion would mean that if you don't follow it, you will be condemned. So what is the modern dharma? It is just artha and kama. Earn money and enjoy sense gratification. That is the mission statement of everyone's life, what everyone is concerned about. So Prabhupada says, yes, that is because people in the modern times generally follow dharma for artha and kama. So if they feel I can get artha and kama without dharma, then what is the need for dharma? We had gone to South India and North India for Banaras for preaching. And there are many Hanuman temples. So there was one, I was stunned to read this prayer. दैट प्रेयर वॉज, तुम तो हो ब्रह्मचारी, मुझे दे दो एक नारी. सो दिस इज धर्म फॉर अर्थ एंड काम. सो एक्चुअली दिस इज हाउ पीपल प्रैक्टिस रिलीजन. And if they feel that I can get religion, artha and kama without dharma, then why bother about following so many rules and regulations? But then without artha and kama, so without dharma, when there is artha and kama, what happens is, it is non-sustainable. It is all temporary. In the Vedic times, how would people get sense gratification? How would they get the necessities of life? When the rains would come, the grains would come from the earth. But now people are not doing religion, so the rains are not coming. So what do humans do? They dig bore wells to get the water from Mother Earth. And they use artificial fertilizers. And they use insecticides. And all sort of artificial things. And all of these are non-sustainable. We use fertilizers, insecticides, bore wells. What happens? The groundwater goes down, 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 down. And then what happens? The prices go up, 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 up. So Vedic culture, even they don't have to pay for food. No, any person who would go Atithi Deva Bhavo, they would get food. Now people have to pay even for water. This is our progress. So what happens is, the way we are living, it is non-sustainable. If we live only for Artha and Kama. So similarly, if the vast tracts of land have become barren. So Mother Earth is withdrawing her resources. She's not giving rains and she's not maintaining the fertility of the land. So if people just live for artha and kama, it is non-sustainable. Very rapidly it degrades. In Vedic civilization, the fuel was, Prabhupada says for cooking, there are four levels of cooking. Best is, he says, gobar. Second best is wood. Third is, he says, is gas. And fourth is electricity. So if you see, all of these, gobar and wood, they are renewable. But if you use gas, it is non-renewable. Now, the life of the modern industrial civilization is petrol. It's non-renewable. So what is going to happen when petrol becomes scarce? It's already happening. The prices are increasing. Prices are increasing means the poor and the middle class people suffer more and more and more. So this is non-sustainable if people live only for artha and kama. But what the Vedas actually intend is not just material benefit, but it is spiritual benefit. That's why even in the Vedic literature, the ultimate goal, the Pancham Purushartha, is not directly given. It is not that Krishna wants to hide it, but it is the conditioned soul doesn't want to see it. It is described in the Vedic literature as state-specific. State-specific means, depending on our state of consciousness, we will perceive them accordingly. When Brahmaji first heard the Vedic literature, he thought that Karma Kanda is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. That people are meant to do yajna by which they can go to heavens, Karma Kanda. Second time he heard the Vedic literature, he felt that Jnana Kanda is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. That actually this material world is a place of suffering, so we have to go to Brahma Jyoti. Third time he heard the Vedic literature, at that time he understood that bhakti is the conclusion of the Vedic literature. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhaktav. So, Brahmaji was being progressively enlightened. And as he was being progressively enlightened by following the instruction of the Lord, his capacity to understand the Vedic literature was also increasing. What you can understand depends on who you are. If a person is impure, he cannot understand the pure conclusion. That's why it describes paramo nirmatsaranam satam. The Bhagavatam cannot be understood by materially minded people. They can't understand. What are you people? You don't enjoy sense gratification. Don't eat. You don't eat non-veg food. No illicit sex. No gambling. No meat eating. What is the enjoyment in life? The people with a material conception, they cannot understand this. So that's why, because the conditioned soul is not ready to understand it, so Krishna keeps the conclusion of pure devotional service hidden in the Vedas. As Shruti Sagara, as it is written over there, Krishna is the jewel hidden in the ocean of the Vedic literature. Very difficult to understand that the ultimate goal of the Vedic literature is devotional service to Krishna. So in the Vishnu Sahasranama it is described, you can repeat this verse. Vede Vedo Veda Vid Avyango. Vedango Veda Vid Kavi. So Vedo Veda Vid Avyango. So Vishnu Pitama is saying that Vedo, you are manifest as the Vedic literature. Veda Ved. You are the knower of the Vedic literature. Avyango. The Vedic literatures comprise your instruction only. Vedango. Vedango means the peripheral parts of the Vedic literature, such as astronomy or Dhanurveda, they all, Ayurveda, they all are ultimately meant to know you. Vedango, Vedavit Kavi. You are the supreme Vedic theologian and knower. So, the conclusion of the Vedic literature is devotional service to Krishna. Why? Because that is the only thing that can make us happy. Yayatma suprasidati. Shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. It is only when we develop our devotion to Krishna, then the misidentification with the body goes away permanently. And then this tapatraya, these threefold miseries go away. As long as we have a body, the threefold miseries are going to be there. And as the more we misidentify with the body, the more we suffer due to the threefold miseries. A devotee also has to live in the world where the threefold miseries come. But because he doesn't identify with the body, he can tolerate and transcend the threefold miseries. But a materialist, he identifies with the body. And so, he suffers far more than the devotee in the same situation. Just as a devotee is going in a crowded bus or a crowded local, and a materialist is going in a crowded bus or a crowded. The materialist is just in bodily consciousness, he's sweating and others are pushing. And he just suffers. But a devotee, he probably chants some prayers or sings some bhajan, remembers Krishna, and he transcends the suffering. Similarly, if somebody falls sick, sickness is hellish for a materialist. It is suffering for both devotee and non-devotee, but for a materialist, what happens is, all the desires to enjoy are there, and the time to enjoy is there, but the vehicle to enjoy is not there. Just misery. But for a devotee, when his body falls sick, he understands, I have so many desires to enjoy, but this is the reality of the body. I should give up my desire to enjoyment. And because the vehicle is not proper, he cannot do various activities, but he takes shelter of Krishna. He hears, chants, prays, becomes more dependent on Krishna. So a devotee transcends the threefold miseries. First, in the early stage, we tolerate, and then we transcend. But that is possible because we have higher knowledge. But without that, the threefold miseries just torture people. You see, people suffer so much when they misidentify with the body. Because when they misidentify with the body, a person thinks, I'm short, I'm fat, I'm tall, I'm this, I'm that. And so much suffering because of that. That's why in our Brahmacharya Ashram Mirror we had written, you are seeing what you are not. You are seeing what you are not. What you are seeing in the body, you are not that. In the mirror. So, if a person misidentifies with the body, the number of ways in which he can suffer is unlimited. Ashesha rujam viroha. And when a person gives up misidentification with the body, even in this life, in this world, his suffering decreases. A threefold misery decreases. And then, ultimately a devotee, because he fixes his mind on Krishna, he starts experiencing spiritual happiness. And as he advances more and more, the threefold miseries decrease more and more, as it is described over here. Tapatraya unmulanam. It just ends completely. When a devotee leaves his body, he returns back to the spiritual world, where he lives eternally with Krishna, with no threefold miseries, no fourfold problems, just pure bliss. And that is the mission of the Vedic literature. That is the mission of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came 500 years ago. To not teach the Vedic path of dharma, artha, kama, moksha, but to teach the Vedic conclusion of prema. Anarpita charim chirata karunaya avatirna kalau samarpaitum unvat ojvala rasam haribhakti shriyam kirata haridyuti kandarpa sandipitaha sadarudaya kandare spuratau hashachinandanaha. Anarpita charim chirata, that which was not given for a very, very long time. that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world to give. What is that? The secret of the Shriya Swabhakti Shriyam, the treasure of his own bhakti. And what happens by this? By this, Tapatrayon Moolanam. So, the Lord himself gives the Vedic literature and he himself comes to teach the conclusion of the Vedic literature. And in this age of irreligion, where people are not even following basic religious principles, just animalistic life, and they're living animalistic life and they're suffering worse than animals. It is in such an age that Srila Prabhupada came and gave the highest conclusion which was not available even to the followers of the Vedic times. Pure devotional service, knowledge of Krishna, knowledge of devotion, pure devotion to Krishna was not so easily available even in the Vedic literature. Even in the Vedic culture and in the Vedic literature, it is not easily understandable. But Srila Prabhupada came and distributed it. And as we say, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Sadma. It is only in the lotus feet of the spiritual master that Bhakti Devi resides. Nowhere else in the material world. In the material world, there is only bhukti. Only the desire for enjoyment. That is residing everywhere. In every hoarding, every magazine, and every person's heart. But it is only in the lotus feet of the spiritual master that Bhakti Devi resides. And therefore, when we serve Vandomuhi Savadhanvate, when we serve the spiritual master with attention, then what happens? Gradually the progress and Chakshudana Dilodei Janme Janme Prabhu. Then the spiritual vision awakens, by which we can understand what is my real self-interest, what is it that is going to make me really happy. And then your devotee feels, Janme Janme Prabhu Sai, I will serve my spiritual master life after life. Why? Because he has saved me from suffering which would have gone on for many, many lives. The kind of way life people are living, the karma that they are doing in one day will take many lifetimes to suffer. If an ordinary human being, especially a materialistic human being, now he wakes up and drinks tea. That's sinful. Bhunjate te tvagham papa. And practically every meal that they eat, there is flesh. And a very popular form of flesh is steak. That is cow flesh, beef. So, Shastras describe immense suffering. For the number of hair that are there on the body of a cow, that many times a person will have to suffer and die. And an average, a statistic was an average meat eater, he eats something like 25 pigs, 12 cows and 48 chickens per month. So, the kind of life people are living, they are going to suffer many, many lifetimes for the karma they are doing in one day. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have been saved from immense suffering. Even if there is some little suffering in our life, that is insignificant as compared to suffering, that people are suffering even now because of their agitated mind and senses, and it is insignificant as compared to the suffering which is awaiting for them if they continue to live the way they are. So, Srila Prabhupada's compassion is our qualification. In Kali Yuga, we have no qualification at all. Kali Yuga means those souls who could not pass the filter of time and mercy, now who were perpetual backbenchers and failures in the classroom of spirituality. They are the left behind. They come in Kali Yuga. But it is in such Kali Yuga that Srila Prabhupada comes. And he gives freely the supreme treasure of Krishna consciousness, which is hidden even in the Vedas. So all that we have to do is just follow him and follow his followers. And we can return back to God. And while we are marching back, we can invite as many souls back as possible. And this is the ultimate fruit that the Srimad Bhagavatam was meant to give, and Vyasadeva wrote it 5,000 years ago. And that was the fruit which Srila Prabhupada intends to give to us today and every day of our lives. So I'll quickly summarize. So we discussed today about how the Srimad Bhagavatam's mission statement is to give pure religion, uncontaminated by any material motives. So we discussed how there are so many differences between humans and animals at a physical level, but at a motivational level, the motivation is the same as the animals. Ahar, Nidra, Bhay, Maitun. Culture, art, literature, music, science, everything is used for Ahar, Nidra, Bhay, Maitun. But you human beings who have a higher consciousness, which is meant to achieve higher happiness, when we use it for animal propensities, then we get higher suffering. Because our consciousness is more developed. We discuss how animals don't suffer from stress, depression, suicide, or anything like that. And then we discussed about how the Vedas have two purposes. Material. unsustainable. Temporarily, there may be some prosperity, but immense are going to come in the future. We discuss. And we discuss that this dharma artha kama system is like